Boo essay?
Really?
Yeah.
That's how we're starting this?
Man. Well, you know what? That's not any more racist than...
anything else in this movie?
Arguably the makers of this film.
Good Lord.
You know what? Like, Paranormal Activity films are licensed to print money, period. Mm-hmm. They spend $15 making them, sure. And they make $100 million.
Right.
So it's not like, regardless of anything else, they're going to stop.
Well, this movie, they spent like 20,000 pesos.
It's like if McDonald's went... these cheeseburgers could be a lot better if we spent some of this money on this. Moment of silence.
No. No.
No, we'll just keep making them the same. Because honestly, people want to come back, and the people who like this series a lot, they don't really want a lot of big changes. They just want to keep coming back to the same haunted house, the same experience. And on that level, the better ones deliver it by at least not fucking around for 45 minutes watching white suburbanites do nothing.
See, this is where I think you're wrong. This movie clearly did bring something new to the table, and that new thing was blatant racism. So,
it wasn't racist. You know,
we'll get to why you're wrong in a second, Elliot. Okay. But this is the Unusual Suspects, highly suspect review of Paranormal Actividad, Part Cinco. I don't know. Okay, the marked ones, which is, I wasn't really sure. It's not technically five, and from what I hear, they're still doing a part five. This is sort of the...
it's a spinoff.
The spinoff movie by committee, by focus group, going, how do we key in on certain demographics? And you know who we notice goes to see a lot of horror films? Latinos. So let's make a movie that is so targeted that you might as well be hitting them all in the head with a brick.
You know, and to be fair, having done this for over a decade, it's true. A horror movie, sure, the majority of the audience are, like, for those test screenings, are Latinos.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they love them.
Well, it's funny, too. They're talking about how well this movie is testing, and I'm like, you think? Come on! Oh, well.
Well, here on the, with the review crew, we've got, of course, myself, Chris.
That's you.
That's me. I'm Chris. Hello.
And I'm Brian.
You're Brian. You're still Brian?
I am still.
Okay.
I thought you were Steak Plissken.
Steak Plissken. Yeah, actually, 2014 is the return of Steak Plissken.
So. I don't know if I like it or not.
Well, I'll just say,
I like it. Also with us is
Elliot.
For his second ever review.
Second. This is your sophomore review.
Getting better. Going to try to get better.
This time he's actually seen the whole rest of the series, so he might actually have something like to say as background. He's our Paranormal Activity historian, if you will.
I actually really like this series, so.
Fair enough. And also with us is...
Ashley!
Ashley, hello! Have you seen any of these others?
I have not, so I'll be playing Elliot on this particular podcast.
Because I think Brian and I have seen all of
these. Well, you're not quite awkward enough to play me.
Well, no, this is perfect, because we have somebody who has only seen this most recent one, somebody who has seen them all and seen them all recently and likes them all, and us who are like, okay, which one was the third one again?
Yeah, well, I've seen them all, and I do like this series more than I don't. Like I said earlier, it's interchangeable for me in my head with the Friday the 13th. It's a formula. They stick to that formula. There's crowds who like that formula. And some are better than others for various different little details.
And when we get to the more spoilery part of the review, we'll tell you how this particular movie is very much like a later Friday the 13th sequel.
Fair enough. But you know what? Here, this is... all right, so this is... why is this not called Paranormal Activity 5?
I don't know.
Well, because they're actually making Paranormal Activity 5. As we pointed out earlier, they're trying to key into a different demographic. And they said, hey, this way the Latinos can go see one movie and the white people can go see the other. And there's no more gang
fights. You know what? They're separate movies, but they're equal. That's what I like about it.
That's the only thing that really struck me. Is like, that is a little bit racist.
It's so racist!
To make this a spinoff rather than just another chapter. I was like, why isn't this just Paranormal Activity 5?
I don't know, though. I felt like it did dispel one racist belief of mine, which is that only white people got possessed and went insane.
True.
Oh, that's true.
Well, and
only white people are stupid enough to go back into, like, hey, this is a haunted place with demons, and there's a trap door that leads down into darkness with strange voices. Let's check it out.
The black people
in the audience are still like, no, you ain't gonna find us down there.
They're not making a spinoff for that demographic.
It's actually funny. I was sitting next to Ashley in the screening, and the part where they were going on, I had my coat over me. I was like, no, don't go in there. That's a bad idea.
Tyler Perry's Paranormal Activity.
Oh my God, Madea.
A Tyler Perry movie being good would be paranormal. That's all I'm going to say.
I think he had one good movie from what I remember.
Yeah, I thought he had one.
Well, none of us remember what it is.
No, it's Star Trek.
Yeah. No, that was it.
There you go. But this story starts off with a young group of, like, they're 18-somethings. Jesse, Arturo, and various, like, family members, friends. Jesse, Arturo being the two ones, best friends, who go everywhere with their camera, or multiple cameras. Shit, these guys have, like, 8 cameras, as near as I can tell.
And it seems like there's an evolution, too. Like, they start with one type of camera, and then at some point he gets a GoPro, and then they just, like, hooks the GoPro to himself, and that's what most of the movie
towards
through.
The end, he's carrying around a Red 3 on his shoulder with a giant setup and a lighting crew.
He's got a crew on a dolly just, like, following along behind him.
He looks like Mojo from the X-Men in the 80s, just, like, crawling around with monitors everywhere.
Yes! Big geek reference number one of the podcast. But when a woman dies at the apartment right beneath him, who they're already like, that woman's crazy. She's like a bruja or something. We don't know what... nobody likes her. She's strange.
She's still kind of funny, so she's more of a brouhaha.
I like it.
Somebody had to do it.
They started, you know, saying, so what was the deal with that? We think she was a witch. Let's check it out. And it's even weirder when the guy who was the, you know, the Valvic Dictorian at their high school is spotted by them on camera jumping out the window and leaving, and who the police are seeking for her murder. They're looking around in there. They see all kinds of satanic crap, whatever that is, you know. It's a Ouija by Parker Brothers.
Or a Simon by Parker Brothers.
And slowly becomes clear that the title, The Marked Ones, relates specifically here to Jesse, who wakes up in the morning after having a dick drawn on his face with a blood bite mark looking thing on his arm. And it becomes clear there's a tie between him and Oscar, who is the guy, the valedictorian guy, and that basically there's a whole... witches trying to possess 18-year-olds to form a satanic army or something. I'm not even entirely clear. No. It's just, it takes what we've seen in the previous Paranormal Activities, it adds a little bit more information, just a teensy bit, and then ultimately just leaves you with the sort of like, and now here's a bunch of shit really fast flying at you and people going, "Rah!" in the camera. And that's the movie.
It also left me wondering, why wasn't George Lopez in this?
Can you imagine?
Oh my god.
Because there are certain things no one can tolerate anymore.
I just would have loved to seen at one point, "Hello, I'm Martin Sheen. I'm Latino, by the way, in case you didn't know."
Technically it's Estevez. We just changed it to Sheen.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen, why not? You know? Yeah. This is about his level of acting quality.
There's a lot to this movie that I don't quite understand, and part of it is, okay, so you're making a movie, you're specifically target, like, anytime you have a movie that is put together by a focus group as opposed to actual artists, there are going to be parts that don't ring true, and there was a lot of this movie that felt like it was created, like, the picture of the Latino community wasn't created by anyone who's actually part of the Latino community, but rather a very angry Klan member who kind of sort of understands the stereotypes of the Latino community.
That might be going a bit far.
I didn't get that at all.
Really? The kid has a shirt that says powered by Frijoles, and his other shirt also has beans on it?
I can tell you some stuff I used to wear when I was a teenager that was just that ironic.
Yeah,
they have a chihuahua.
Yeah, they do have a chihuahua. That was a little much, I gotta say.
Every grocery store they go into also sells candles. Like, I don't know why we're even having this discussion. The movie, like, right across the street is all of the gangsters ever. Like, it's just...
Well, they live in the hood. Like, there's gonna be gangsters in the hood.
Yeah, I mean, he does make a strong point. You can't, like, take this and make it where, like, oh, you know what? Hey, guys, let's go next door real quick to Bed Bath & Beyond and pick up some. No, they do live in the hood. And there are grocery... If you've actually been to those grocery stores, they are filled with Jesus candles. You know, I just... Like, there's a line, sure, and I understand what you're saying completely. And to us, it certainly seems like, wow, you really are banging. I mean, there's a point where a guy comes out on the screen and goes, "Hey, I'm eating a tortilla out of the fridge."
That was okay? Funny, though.
And you're like... Come on! You know, if it was, what would they do with us? Would they say, "Hey, I'm eating some saltines"? I said, "Okay."
We would get like, "Oh, I'm wearing khakis and eating saltines watching Mad About You. What was that sound?" Like, yeah, come on.
We would actually do that, though.
I love that show.
And hopefully it's a dead Paul Reiser, because come on.
Because he's a dick in Aliens.
He's a dick in Aliens. I have not gotten
He totally deserved what he got.
But actually, this was your first experience.
It was.
With a Paranormal Activity film. And I know, like, I talked to a lot of people who see any given one of these and they come in and they're like, their first one, they're always like, "I don't know, that was fun. I had a good time with that." And a lot of the time it's because they haven't seen it done several times already. But what did you, as a first timer, take away from
First this? Of all, did you get motion sickness?
So that's actually a problem with me in found footage films, is that I do get a little bit dizzy, but that's okay. I didn't drink before I came, so I was able to make it through the entire thing. Yeah. You know, I went in with pretty low expectations, so the truth is, some of the more heavy-handed things aside, I thought it was kind of fun. Some of the jokes were cute. I did like one of the somewhat heavy-handed things that we're allowed to do in this movie, since they were all gangsters, being Hispanic, obviously, is that they decide to take on the witches. And so they suit up, like, Blade style.
That was great!
Actually, I kind of laughed, where they're like, fuck these bitches. And they just start, like, suiting up, and I was like, okay, that's pretty funny.
That was the single best moment in this entire film.
My favorite part of that scene...
It didn't justify all the other things, but it was really funny.
And there's so many horror movies where you go, why don't you just go get a bunch of guns? Wouldn't that have been awesome if they go, fuck this?
My favorite part of that scene...
They only needed, like, three more guys, and it would have worked.
Yeah. They take the guns out of the trunk. These are hard-ass gangsters. They go to the first door. It's locked. We gotta find another way in. I'm like, really? You can't think of any other way to get through that door.
Well, they started picking them up.
You're carrying a shotgun.
But they are still trying to be quiet at that point, to be fair.
It's like, somebody just break in.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've played that level in that video game, and sometimes you require certain pieces on the witch while she's still alive. So it's best, you'll get 2x damage if you do a sneak attack.
And you won't get the achievement if you end up getting sighted during that
fact.
Level.
And why are we here if not for the achievements?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As I've seen most of the other ones, and I liked all of them except for 4. 4 I felt like it was a waste of time.
Yeah, 4 was like a step backwards in terms of, like, yeah. Let's go back to really slow, a long time before anything happens in the movie at all.
Well, because 3 had a lot of plot progression where you were like, okay, this is telling me something about the history. But 3 shuts off right when they get to the good part. This time, it shut off, and then it came back on. So I was very happy that, okay, you're actually going to start explaining some of this to me. So, I mean, I think that they explained a lot. There was a lot of new information that we didn't understand. And I like how they got how stupid you can be when you're an 18-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I can't fall down. This is great.
Yeah, you know, like when you're 18 and you're possessed, and then every time you try to fall down, a ghost grabs you and doesn't let you. You know, they really nailed the experience of every 18-year-old.
I'm just saying that I could see 18-year-old.
Demon?
No, they
were 18-year-old demon.
Now, they really nailed the experience of having seen Chronicle.
Yeah, all those scenes. And every time that happened, they were like, oh my god, isn't that cool? And it's like, you really are not freaked out by this at all. Like, the fact that someone is clearly haunting your house.
At the same time, I was actually having fun with it. I was like, okay, I don't know. I mean, if I suddenly had superpowers, like, the guys in Chronicle weren't like, call the police!
Exactly. Like, they're like, this is awesome.
Completely different situation.
Call the police, I'm a badass?
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, they even address it. He's like, well, you know, I thought I was special. And then he starts figuring out, well, I was dumb? Because, I mean, and I really like what they did with the Simon, because usually you just go straight to a Ouija board.
Well, this series has already done the Ouija board, so that's why they couldn't go back to it.
Yeah, you had to switch it with something else. And switching it out for the old...
It was really
boop,
cool.
Boop, beep, boop. I was like, that is the least creepy toy that's ever been invented, and they actually did manage to find a way.
Their other option was
other than chutes and ladders.
Well, the Pop-O-Matic trouble thing was what they were going to go to next. Like, if it's yes, 1 through 3, and if it's no, 4 through 6, but they decided to go with Simon.
Yeah, and they couldn't find a magic 8-ball that just said, you're fucked. Put down the camera and run.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Well, just watching this, it seemed like they really. And this is. I'm not going to agree with this, but it seemed like they agreed. Not agreed. They listened to the points of the critics in the last movies. They're like, okay, we're not going to shut it off when we start explaining stuff, and we're not just going to have a steady camera that just watches a single room for 30 minutes.
Yes, and I was actually very grateful for that. That was the biggest change from the previous films, is like that stunt that's in every one of the other movies where it's like, okay, now we're going to set the camera here, and there's going to be a timer through, you know, move forward till something happens, and you sit and wait for 5 minutes for the payoff, which is not generally a huge payoff.
There was
with the exception of one in part 3, which is amazing.
Yeah.
The rotating fan kitchen.
In the blanket?
Yeah, that was very cool. But, like, they did away with that entirely in this one, which
there wasn't any of it.
As well as, like I said, there's little aspects here and there that are different enough that kept me more interested than I think I was, certainly in 4, and even more so than 2, which I thought was pretty much just an exact repeat of the first
2 was exactly the same movie.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not changing a lot, but the important thing of these is, like I said, you got a formula, they want to sell that formula. If you change it too much, you're going to lose their audience of the type of people who really love these things and want to see, you know, as many as they make. But at the same time, you got to have it where we're going to keep entertained. I mean, like, they've got it now where, what, it's like maybe 10 minutes into this movie and they start doing creepy stuff. And also, they're not just sitting around playing Scrabble like the white people in the previous films for the first half hour.
What's with the games? I actually liked that part, too. Like, the little bit of character development we got, I thought was kind of cute.
I did, too.
Like, okay. I kind of liked it.
A little more charming than the previous ones, and they were a little more colorful than the characters.
Racist.
And
that's racist.
Ones. Yeah, really.
Not in terms of skin color. They were just more fun to watch.
I like how I'm the only minority on this review, and I'm the one not saying this racist.
we're a little, like, quick to jump the gun on that one. To be
no, fair. I just thought it was a funny joke.
We want to make sure no one goes, you like that movie? Racist.
No, so I will do it for you.
Yeah, no one would say that about me because I don't see color.
Yeah, well, you're legally colorblind, though. So
it's not funny. It's a real disability.
But you can see black and white.
Yeah, kind of, but it made that Simon bit really difficult for me.
Wait,
I was like, why is everyone so worried?
What did it say? Did it say yes or no? The camera angle changed. I don't know.
Which one's red? Which one's green?
Well, I would like to talk about something specific about the ending, so I guess this is the point of the show where I have to tell you...
Spoilers!
Woo! Spoilers! So, yeah, okay, so you knew that at some point they were going to have to weave this one back into the, I use the word narrative very loosely, of the other films.
Paranormiverse?
Paranormiverse, yeah, absolutely. That's, yeah, okay, so at the end of the film, well, they have been talking about this page that they found in an old book that says something about a door that lets you, I shit you not, travel through time, but only to other cursed places. Okay, so they go through...
Unholy places.
Unholy places. So they go through the door at the end of the movie, and wouldn't you know it, they end up in the apartment, in the house of the first film, and here comes Katie down the stairs, because we have to keep giving Katie Featherston work, because otherwise she will just kill all of us.
Yeah, they're not making Hollywood Squares right now, so I don't know what else she's supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't know. She just keeps showing up in these movies, whether that's... And I really feel like... The time travel door was the weakest shoehorning in of that story so far in this franchise. Like, okay, so you have a door that travels through time, so it can go anywhere. No, it can only go to other unholy places. So the only other place it goes is that house where Katie and...
Well, not necessarily
whatever.
The only other place.
But the only place that we see.
But and to be fair, the only, like, that is the epicenter of this universe and the events in it.
Yeah.
So the idea that this is, which is still part of that world, would have a direct door back to that, the very beginning.
Yes, but you understand that this franchise has officially gone to time travel. Like, the only things left are go to space, be in 3D, and they've already done I Want Your Baby / I Want to Be Reborn through you.
The next one, they're actually meeting Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Just send them to space.
Space was good enough for the Leprechaun.
Or take the paranormal demon and put it up against, I don't know, Jigsaw and do a crossover movie. Like, we have reached that point of absurdity with this franchise.
Brian, I want to say...
How do you say jump the shark in Spanish? That's what I want to know.
I want to say I respect your opinion. I really do, but I happen to have a different one.
Go for it, Elliot.
And all I'm going to say is I really like that they had that doorway because it reminded me of a movie that I really like called Grave Encounters that was on Netflix for years. And spoilers, the conceit of that movie is you can't actually escape that haunted house. Even if you walk out a door, even if you're in a hotel, you'll end up back in there. And I really liked that because it was a complete surprise to me because like it had they mentioned the doorway so early in the story that I had forgotten about it. That when they got to that door, it was a genuine surprise to me, and that's very rare for me to be surprised in a movie, and I really enjoyed that part.
You were surprised by something they told you was going to happen, and you just forgot that it was going to happen.
Well, you didn't necessarily know it was going to tie back into the original movie.
They just said...
And you know that it was going to, at some point, tie back into the original film, because they all do. They have to. It's one of the rules of the franchise. They all have to feature Katie Featherstone at some point.
And they keep trying to expand this as one universe, as one story, and with one mythology, but it's like they also keep convoluting it at the same time to make it work. Like, there's this whole scene in there where they're trying to explain why it's 18-year-old boys that are taken, which in the first film, it had nothing to do with an 18-year-old boy. It wasn't until we got to the second film that they even introduced the idea of a baby, so it was like... Okay, well, I don't understand why they're taking 18-year-olds in the first place.
I was trying to puzzle that out, and I was saying, okay, because there's two different things they're after. One is to create more witches, and the other is to create more, as they say in the movie, members of this satanic army. Presumably, we're heading towards revelations in the end of the world.
That's what I think their endgame is.
I think their endgame. It seems this is the one that's like, that's what this series is heading towards. Which is not what you would have gotten from the original film at all, to be clear.
No.
But I will hand it to them. They are indeed progressing the plot, however indeed convoluted.
But yeah, in order to do that, they have to come up with weaker and weaker explanations. And every time I see one of those scenes now, in these movies, it's usually late in the movie. And in this one, it's, you know, spoiler alert, it's from somebody from a previous film, but it's just like, really? That is the best explanation you can come up with. If you're not going to spend more time to actually create legitimate fibrous tissue to connect all this stuff, then don't try to do it. I just don't understand.
I realize it's a cop-out. I realize this, but I'm going to say it anyway. To me, this is really, I look at it in the same way I do the Fast and the Furious films. It's like, it makes...
Don't you make that comparison. I love those movies.
I do too. But I'm saying, it's like, it doesn't necessarily at this point have to make perfect sense.
Yeah.
As long as they're moving it along and doing
I think
stuff. I'm going to be less hard on this than I would on something that deserves a higher level of cerebral reasoning.
Exactly. I would agree with that, except that these movies are taking themselves so seriously, whereas the Fast and the Furious movies are not. And that's actually kind of another problem I've been having with these, is it's gotten to the point where it's just like, you realize you're just shaking the trees, right? You're just coming up behind us and saying boo, and yet they keep trying to make it heavier and heavier, and it's like, no, you're still ridiculous, and that's fine, but I can't give the movie a pass, because it's like, oh, well, it's just a paranormal movie. It's like, it thinks it's great. That's kind of my problem.
I can't argue with your perspective on it at all, because nothing you're saying is untrue. Yet for me, I still have fun with it. I'm like, it's goofy, but as long as you keep me entertained with this series, I'm gonna enjoy it anyway. And I like, as ridiculous as having a time travel door is, I agree with Ellie. I wasn't even the world's biggest fan of Grave Encounters, but that conceit was cool.
Yeah, I like that conceit.
And I love, like, there's this whole thing that, like, reality itself is starting to bend. Like, everything is starting to go, like, there's a sequence where you literally see the house and the structure of it start to bend and twist in a weird way.
And then Matt Smith comes through and it's like, what the fuck is happening?
No, but I like it. It reminds me of Wreck 2. Quite frankly, with a wonderful sequence where they take that to the next level. They're like going, this reality is not all there is, and this other reality is starting to intrude onto it. And I'm like, I like that. It adds this level of like, what the fuck is going on? That is cool and creepy and goes beyond what we've already seen a billion times before in Exorcist and Ghost and Demon movies.
And it addresses something that you see in a lot of horror movies, like, well, why don't they just bring guns? And well, if you can bend reality, guns aren't going to do you much good.
Well, they actually did kind of do
well, that's
good.
Why... That- It's like, normally they don't bring guns, because guns aren't going to do shit against ghosts.
You know what would have done good here? Like, 50 more bangers. I'm just saying.
They should have been like, no, two is not enough. We're going to get our entire crew. We're going to call the other gang, and we're going to do a joint operation here.
This is that point where they were missing...
It's bringing them together.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the same problem romantic comedies have, where you're just like, if you would just all communicate to each other exactly what the problem is, then they would all be solved. There'd be no problem. If they had just told these gangbangers, look, it's the devil. I don't tell you. You might want to call some friends.
And then Bill Murray shows up.
End of the series. We're done.
They could have had some new guys. They could have sent them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I didn't think enough about it. When I said in the holy places, I just thought they were going to open the door to the landing strip.
Which, by the way, is
just like,
the worst strip
pop it
club
open.
In Austin.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly there's a scene from Varsity Blues like, no! Why?
Like, how weird can this get? Pop that door open.
Yeah, and it just ties back to Paranormal Activity 4. And you're like, yeah, that was pretty unholy.
I still want to see the movie about the guy who is locked in a tiny little room with all of this fucking footage. And it's his job to edit it all together. He's like, really? More kids? Oh, fuck, fine. This is the scariest shot of that. And then we cut to the... Oh, okay.
Actually,
the camera's on the side. That's great. Okay, then we just end it here. I don't even want to do any more movie. This is just the abrupt ending for this one.
Actually, then you want to watch Grave Encounters 2 because they actually go through that. I'm just saying they do.
They do. You're right. I can't believe I've watched both Grave Encounters. I share that with you, Elliot.
We share the shame.
I've seen both films, and I am ashamed. It's true. All right, well, let's go to final thoughts here. I'm going to kick this one off. I, once again, feel like this is one... It's another Paranormal Activity film, like I keep saying. It's a formula.
Yes, that is true.
It's a formula. It's a formula that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't for the audience intended for. I actually love ghost movies. They creep me out like crazy. It's one of my favorite genres of horror, supernatural horror. And while none of the Paranormal Activity films will ever, like so far, would rate in the best of the best in this, they're fun for what they are when they're done right. And honestly, I would put this alongside 1 and 3 as one of the better ones of the series. It moves quickly. It's got relatively likable characters. Yes, it's filled with, like, silly as fuck shit. Arguably racist stuff even. And yes, a dog unfortunately gets made extremely uncomfortable, which I know is not one of your big things, Brian.
Yeah, but, I don't like that.
Yeah. But I had more fun than I didn't. I know there were points I was a little bored, but then it would bring me back. I was like, yeah, that was fun.
See, now I'm just imagining that dog and Etsy going, no, Chiaro! God damn this movie. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. Damn it, Brian. I had what my rating was going to be, and now I can't remember.
Well, then just say silencio.
My arbitrary rating. No, this isn't the end of
Mulholland
Drive.
Can I make a suggestion? I will make a suggestion for this particular movie that we use the jump scale for this
the
movie.
Jump scale?
We'll go 1 to 10 on the jump scale. Since these movies are all about the startling scares, all
right,
we will use a jump scale for this. Well, so on the jump scale from 1 to 10, how did you find this movie?
Wait, point of clarification. By jump scale, do you mean how many times it made me jump?
No, no, no.
Or how jumpable is it?
How jumpable
is it? Okay, gotcha.
That sounds like a different type of movie. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like I would have to give a backup rating as well, because I didn't find this overwhelmingly scary. There were a few moments that got me. It wasn't... Because you're prepared for most of the scares here, and I'm by being used to the series.
Can I actually say one thing before you give your rating?
Yeah.
Just, I feel like it wasn't so much about the jump scares. It was
no.
It was more of a traditional horror movie shot in a found footage format.
Yeah, there were
like moments where it's like, okay, here's where the friend jumps out, and you think it's going to be a ghost, and it's going to be the friend.
Oh no!
Wait for it, and then they would do it.
You're right. It still goes through all that, but I don't think that the things about this that worked the best had anything to do with the jump scares at all. It just, that's part of the formula. It's still here.
They throw a sheet at
you. So on a jump scare level, it's probably about a 4, but overall, you know, I probably give this, like, out of 10 tortillas, I give it a 7.
Wow.
I refuse to participate in that rating scale.
So we
to
you, each it's come a up with our
conscientious
own.
Objector.
It's the arbitrary rating system. You know this.
That's true.
All
that's
right,
true.
Ashley, what about you?
Yeah, I have to say that I had more laughs and small jumps than I did nausea, which is a lot more than I can say for a lot of found footage films.
Yeah.
So if you go in with a reasonable expectation, it's better than the Saw movies I saw.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah, you might want to wait for it to come out on Netflix. In which case, I would give it a 3 out of 5 beers you will drink while watching it on Netflix.
That's or a good rating. That's a good rating system. I like
yes!
That.
Or 5 out of 10 jumps. I jumped. I thought it was good.
You jumped a little.
I jumped a little.
Jump.
I hopped. I hopped.
Fair enough. Elliot.
As a big fan of this genre, I liked it a lot because it actually starting to grow the genre. It's not a perfect movie by any shape of the imagination. It's not the most scary movie I've ever seen. But I would say that it's something that if you go on a Saturday morning, you're not spending that much money, you're going to enjoy it. And it's just, and especially if you watch the series and you're aware of the continuity. So I would give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10 what?
7 out of 10 stars.
You know how this arbitrary system works. Come on.
I'll go back. I'll give it a 4 out of 5 beers.
Woo!
You stole her thing.
I like her rating system.
Everyone loves beer.
That's true. We all do love beer.
That is very true. It is a centerpiece of pretty much every show we do. Yeah.
Cervezas.
I did not.
I was literally counting in my head.
It's like we almost got out
dos,
another one.
Trace, till someone said that.
This movie just earned a Dos Equis rating for me. Yeah, I did not. I think you hit it on the head, Chris, when you said that it really boils down to whether or not you had fun with it. And I didn't have any fun with it. That was kind of my problem, is all of the things that were either really contrived or the things that we had seen before, or the really weird, like, fascination with painting stereotypes that I didn't quite understand. Like, all this stuff kept me ultimately from being entertained, which you're right. That is by the fifth film in a franchise like this, that is absolutely the way that we have to judge these movies. And it just comes down to the fact that I wasn't really entertained by it. I just found it sort of more of a chore than a thrill ride. And I think a thrill ride. And I think it was like the only way it could have been more racist is if they showed up at the end with two cholos or churros as a cross. Like if they had gone into the house with like two churros as a cross, like the power of Christ compels you, eh? Like then
I would have given it 8 out of 10 tortillas.
Yeah. So on the jump scale, I was actually I'm getting really tired of jump scares too. I'm just like, get it over with, for God's sake. It's like prison rape. It's just like, do it already.
Is it?
That's a jump.
So,
is it?
So I'm done. I'm done with the jump scares. Like, they don't really do anything for me anymore. I, on a scale of 1 to 10, if we're using a jump scale or some other racist iconography, then I'm gonna have to give this movie a 3. So, that's where I land on
3 out of 10.
3 out of 10.
3 out of 10 what?
3 out of 10 crosses made of churros.
That'll work.
Alright. Upside down crosses made of churros.
Also, prison rape is not what you think it is.
Yeah, I should know what you think prison rape is.
Prison rape is waiting for jump scares in the Paranormal Activity movies.
You guys.
Yeah, don't commit a crime.
He was raised in suburban white land.
Hey, look, Brian, there's some soap on the floor.
No. Nope. I know this one.